Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Now, settle into the couch or lean back in the car seat.
Here we go.
Here we go. Oh,
26 of the country's toughest competitors are about to go head-to-head in the toughest contest there is.
We have ourselves a contest.
This is Rugby League at its best.
Wow.
What about that?
Triple M Rocks the Footy. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Triple M Rocks the Footy.
Well, a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sunday Triple M NRL for our mates at Ream. And, of course, we've got Gordy Tallis, Paul Kent, James Hooper, Anthony Maroon. Now, we've got some special guests, too, coming up today. Being Mother's Day, we'll talk about that, of course. And before I go any further, actually, happy Mother's Day to all the beautiful mums and grandmums and all that listening right across the Triple M network today. Gordy Tallis, welcome to you.
Thank you, Anthony. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Have you done anything Mother's Day-ish yet?
I sent Mum a message and then spoke to her, briefly this morning. She was out watching her her grandchildren play sport.
Right.
So I told her I'd ring her after the show.
That's a good chat to her. That's lovely.
And my brother's away, so we're going to have a nice lunch because obviously we had to work. So we're going to take her out to lunch through the week. And it was her birthday yesterday too.
So she doubles up?
Yeah, double present. So Chemist Warehouse, you know.
Well, Chemist Warehouse has got some. I've got a bag full of stuff out there. Chemist Warehouse.
No. Mum's not into that stuff.
Paul Kent, happy Mother's Day to you.
Thanks, Anthony. Mate. I don't know if it quite applies
to
me.
I meant that in the nicest way.
Yeah, thank you,
that's
then.
That's a backhanded
comment. Yeah, I'd like to wish my mother a happy birthday. Happy Mother's Day and all the mothers out there. It's been a really strong campaign. I think the NRL this week, the Fox Sports had all the players on there wishing their mums happy Mother's Day, so it was nice.
I love all that. And hoops to you too, mate. You've got a lovely young wife at home and a mum, so you've got a... What have you done so far? Breakfast in bed, anything special?
Yeah, we did do breakfast in bed, and then we went shopping yesterday and bought a bit of a variety of prezzies, so we got some chocolates and nice vase for some flowers, Anthony.
Yeah, and some soothers.
And I got some anticoals, as you can hear. Yeah.
You
sound like a frog.
Yeah, you sound like you had a packet of Arda. Did you get a carton of smokes too while you're out, did you? Huh? You're going to tell us what's wrong?
A packet of what?
Ardith. That's an old-fashioned brand of cigarettes.
Right.
Ardith.
Showing your age, Anthony. Move on.
Wouldn't know, Anthony.
Anyway, happy Mother's Day to all the mums, guys. An important round, which we're going to talk about, and some upset scores, some big scores. Of course, on Saturday we had the Roosters beating the Warriors by 32 points to nil, which I think got everybody by surprise. Mm-hmm. It all kicked off on Thursday night. Tigers 20, Cowboys 12. Panthers 29, Knights 18. Dogs 20, Parramatta 12, Storm 28, Titans 14, Manly 38, Broncos 24. Now, I know that was an important win for Manly, but just as importantly, could be a real costly one for the Broncos to lose because they stick down there with that pack in 10 just outside the 8. Those scores are all thanks to Tyre Power, which are doing great deals right across Mother's Day. Buy 4 selected Continental passenger tyres or 4x4 tyres and you get a $100 cash card, which I guess you could probably give to your mum for Mother's Day if you want. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about that Broncos-Manly game in the doubleheader at Suncorp Stadium. Everything rugby league. Big guests coming up, including the Pearl, Steve Renoff. What do you call him, Gordy?
Bucko.
Bucko. Mal Meninga is coming up as well. And right now, a little bit of Van Halen on Sunday Triple M NRL. Sunday Triple M NRL, thanks to Ream Hot Water, Gordy Tallis, Paul Kent, Hoops and Maroon. Just quickly, the NRL ladder for EWFW Consulting Engineers. They work for you. I'll just get through this top eight as it is at the moment. Dragons still have only lost one game. That'll all change today. 16 points. Panthers in second on 14. Warriors 14. Storm and Roosters on 12 with Tigers on 12. Then Souths and Sharks on 10. And just outside the eight, but also on 10 points, 5 wins and 5 losses after last night, the Broncos. The scores once again, Tigers 20, Cowboys 12, Panthers 29, Knights 18, Dogs 20, Parramatta 12, Roosters 32, Warriors 0, Storm 28, Titans 14, Manly 38, Broncos 24. That Manly game, boys, is where we want to start. Paul, I know it was an important one for Manly to win, but I think that might have been 2 points the Broncos might have banked on in that doubleheader.
I'm sure they did. It was an interesting game. You could see Manly were on pretty early. They came with an intensity last night that we were wondering if we were going to see last week out of them. It was not quite there last week, but certainly the Manly guys have sat down and thought, a little bit like Brad Arthur said after Parramatta's loss, it's time to stop talking about it and get out and do it. Mm. And Manly, they got into the game last night. And to be honest, they weren't going to win the game, but their effort and the consistency of effort wore Brisbane down. Brisbane looked the better early on. Brisbane looked like they were going to do something. It's like Brisbane were on the launch pad. But suddenly, you just got this graph that Manly stuck to. It beat Brisbane.
Jake Trbojevic has won the last couple of Roy Bull Awards as Manly's best player for the last couple of seasons. I reckon that's probably the best game I've seen him play in the NRL.
He's a freak. He ticks all those boxes you want from a teammate. He comes out and he tries for you. He's unselfish. He's clever. He's tough. He's got all those attributes that you want out of your bloke in the middle from a teammate to look in and say, I'm glad he's on our side.
Mm. Yeah, mate, he was absolutely outstanding. I think it was 19 runs for something like 180 metres in the middle. That's without his defence.
Yeah.
And I thought his brother simplified his game. I reckon the talk of State of Origin got to him a little bit, but last night it was just his running game that come back. And that's where, you know, like we've all watched this big body run, and I think he made, you know, the second most amount of metres to his brother. But that Trbojevic, there's something about him. I think his body's made of concrete, because a couple of those Broncos blokes tried to line him up and shot him. And
Jake,
it's just a thud. Mate, and it's just a thud. And he doesn't look like the biggest guy out there, but he's just got a great hit in him. And, mate, he played really good.
He tackles the old-fashioned way. He bends his back and he drives. And he likes to hit you in up under the ribs and really put a shot on you and you know, knock the sweat from your head. And I like the way he just attacks his game. Look, it's a must. He plays 13 for New South Wales this year. Mm. Absolute must. But I also think that the quicker Manly give ownership of the team to him, the better.
Yeah. 36 tackles last night. Yeah. No, and not one miss.
Yeah. Mm.
Not one
terrific
miss.
Record, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's interesting what you mentioned about State of Origin, Paul, because I think there's a little bit of talk leading into that game that maybe Jack DeBellin and the combination of the Dragons and the fact that, you know, we know that in all likelihood Tyson Frizzell's going to be there, Cameron McInnes will be the hooker provided he's fit, Paul Vaughan's a very strong chance. So there was some talk leading into that game that perhaps Jack DeBellin would wear 13 and Jake Trbojevic would come off the bench. But I thought last night, well, Jake certainly probably put an end to that.
You guys have a real dilemma on who you leave out of the New South Wales side at the moment, especially in the back row, because you've got Cordner and Jackson that did
in
a great job.
Positions, in certain positions, Gordon, but yeah, we're still trying to find a seven. So if you've got to spare one of those, throw it this way. It's Queensland trying to bait it again. Yeah, Queensland, it fascinates me how Queensland always got to be the underdog every year. They run out 9 of the 13 Australian players and they're still the underdogs.
But boys, I was listening to Wendell yesterday on Saturday, Triple M NRL. He was.
Feel nauseous, don't you?
Favourites. Oh, by far, you're a favourite.
Great win for Manly. Here's Daly Cherry Evans on Fox League talking to Andy Raymond after the victory.
Daly Cherry Evans, it has been a long, it has been a tough, it's been an emotional 5 weeks.
Yeah, hasn't it? What? I think we're allowed to smile now, aren't we? Yeah. No, it's been a tough 5 weeks. But this is footy. That's just footy, and we've got out of it. We've got a win, and we're just excited to get our season back on track, mate.
Appy, some genuine emotion right on full time from all of you.
Yeah, like you said, it's been a really tough 5 weeks for the boys. To get that W tonight, you know, it means the world to us, and you know, it means that we get our season back on track.
What do you do when it gets tough and when everyone, it seems, is looking at you?
Yeah, we just stick together, eh? There was a lot written about us, to be honest. There's a lot was very far from the truth too. Yep. We stuck together, we trained hard, and we got a performance tonight. So we knew it was a matter of time, and tonight was that night. We had a good feeling about it. We trained really well, and yeah, here we are. We're back on track, mate. It's really exciting.
Is this the Manly that fans should be seeing this year, this type of performance?
Yeah, I definitely think so. You know, we showed how good we could be last year, and you know, I think like Daly said, we're back on track this year, showing our best footy and, you know, showing what we can produce.
Okay, Appy and Daly Cherry Evans, their boys, saying, I thought that might have been a little bit premature. They're back on track. Next week they've got Melbourne in Melbourne.
Yeah, they're entitled to be confident about the performance last night and hopeful that it carries into next week. It's a really unusual competition, though, because it's very, very difficult to get a form line on the way teams are going. I think Manly lost three in a row, is it, before last night?
No, they lost five straight.
Lost five, that's right. They'd lost five straight. Brisbane had won three straight. All form indicated it was a Brisbane win. But given the nature of the NRL at the moment, with teams up and down and all over the place, it's very difficult. But the one thing about, look, I would prefer Manly guys who have just been through a tough period to be a little bit careful about how they come out of it. For Daly Cherry Evans,
you'd like to see him show a little bit more humility. Is that what you're looking for?
Not so much humility, but Daly Cherry Evans, he's had one win in his past six games after they've turned on a teammate. They've then turned on the coach who backed the players, and he says, "Oh, a lot of it's not true." Well, it actually is true.
Yeah.
So let's just be honest about it and not try and rewrite history.
Yeah. With respect to Daly, look, he was tremendous last night, and they thoroughly deserved that victory. But when you get paid that much money, Gordon, is what he does. It's about $1.3 million this year. You need to produce that every week. If you're that player in that team, that's the absolute cream. That means that you need to be 7.5, 8 out of 10 every single week. And with respect to Daly, last night he was terrific, but I don't think he has been there over the last 6 weeks.
No, and the last game that he played to that standard was when they played against Parramatta. And then he started and he was brilliant. I remember like Manu Mau charged at him early and his intent was there right from the beginning. I think he kicked the 40-20 and he, you know, hit Manu Mau. I think they come up with a mistake. And Cherry Evans, whether you like it or not, if you're prepared to get paid that much money, you have to be the marquee player. You have to be the go-to guy and you have to be their best player.
It goes with the territory.
It goes with the territory of being the best player.
And if you don't want the spotlight on you because of that, say, you know what, I'm not actually, you know, you're never going to say it, but share the cash around then.
Absolutely.
And exactly.
Are you hearing that, Anthony? Are you hearing that? Share the cash around.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
And can you start performing for the money that you're getting?
Oh, uh-huh. Well, mate, why don't you share a little bit of cash around? You don't even need the cash you get because you get everything you get for nothing.
Yeah.
Boys, let's sort of take a
jealous.
Look. I am jealous. Don't worry about that.
Channeling Anthony Minicello today with three buttons undone.
Mate, you at 11:19 this morning, I don't want to get off the point here, Paul, but 11:19 this morning, he threatened to punch the living something out of me. Jordo, our panel operator, and Zach Bailey, our producer, were witness.
Yeah, cool.
When you said you would punch the living, you know what, out of me.
In the meantime, we've taken a photo of your shirt that you're wearing today that's got about eight buttons undone.
Yeah.
And we've put it up on social media on Twitter.
Yeah.
And Rhonda, Beverly, Glenda, it's going bananas. It's lit up like a Christmas tree.
Old Delia's in there too.
Boys, let's have a look at the Broncos. That was an important one for them. A doubleheader, a massive crowd at Suncorp Stadium. They've come away without the points. Now, we saw some Brisbane supporters leaving the ground before full time. And there's also a hashtag getting around, Wayne out. Is this the start of the turn?
Are you serious?
I'm absolutely serious.
Did you just make that up?
Mate, why would I make stuff up when I've got you here?
No, you can't make this stuff up. Do you know, Brisbane have, with all the class that they've ever had, they've always been an effort side, right? So, and then that's just not negotiable. It's how you got to outwork your opponent. You got to work really hard in defence and do it. And then Brisbane are doing that, but their classy players just aren't doing what they got to do. So they're McCulloch. He's coming back from an elbow.
Playing busted with
and
elbow,
you got their six and seven that just don't seem to be clicking at the moment. And Darius, number one, he does everything, but it's easy to defend on him when their halves don't straighten the attack and they pass him the ball. They had 28 or something tackles in Manly's 20-metre zone and didn't win the game. So their ability to break down Manly's defence on the try line wasn't there.
Because it's not in the six and seven. The six and seven, Gordon, they're not...
But that's who they've
bought.
They're
not game managers.
But that's who they've bought.
I know that's who they've bought, but you talk about how they haven't clicked yet. I doubt they ever will click. At some point when the forwards get in a rare burst of form and just start smashing forward, and it's very easy then for halves to play off the back of that, they'll look good. And everybody will say,
I think there's stages this season where they have looked good, and that's only when the pack starts driving through the middle.
But it's never generated out of the halves.
Yeah.
And that's what... Yeah, at some point, Bennett's going to understand that the halves aren't they're not generating the attack. And last night, they got to tweak their game plan for it. Yeah, but they got them. But neither half is a natural. That's not his natural game.
They're natural runners.
They're runners. They're not
organisers.
Organisers. And they need to get an organiser in there who can just play a little bit of shape and start getting a little bit of. Yeah, spot a weakness in defence. Spot a weakness in defence and say, guys, this is how we're going to get there. And they can, someone who can actually manufacture a try rather than rely on their own creative brilliance.
But this problem hasn't shown up overnight. So they had their 6 and 7. Before that, they lost Hunt. They lost Ash Taylor. They bought Jack Bird, that is not an organiser and hasn't run a team. So the people who they're buying aren't game management players that you'd go and go, okay, well, he's run this team for 3 years and he will work really good with Anthony Milford. They're just going and buying the best sort of running players. So they've got all these running players, but their game plan is set up for a game management style. Let's grind out a win here. We got to let them beat us. So Wayne Bennett's sides go out there, and it's been going on for years, don't beat yourselves. So they go out there with that mindset, not to attack and not to play. They just to make sure that you defend. And the Manly, obviously last night, hung in the battle and got the points in the end.
Hey,
and
boy, sorry,
Paul. I was going to say, particularly with this new strategy that they're all employing with the conceding penalties on the on your own 10-metre or within your own 10-metre zone to then be able to reset your defence and get a rest, that's really making it tough for teams that don't have naturally creative players, as in from a game, from a team point of view, to actually break down where you can get. So Brisbane are doing a great job of marching upfield, but once they get into that red zone, the 20-metre, between 20-metre try line where teams really start to knuckle down defensively, they struggle a lot. And they're struggling, particularly when they get up in the 10-metre zone where suddenly the opposition aren't 10 metres back. So they can get in there and they can really upset them. And until, you know, Brisbane, all Brisbane's, the majority of Brisbane's points are coming from outside that zone when they're scoring Corey Oates long-distance tries, Milford last night with a long-distance try, those sorts of things. They need to get out and be able to come up with something other than a kick to the corner to score in the opposition 20.
Boys, I've got some audio here in the press conference last night. Wayne Bennett specifically talking about some injuries that you guys discussed and the loss last night to Manly. Here is Gordy Tallis' mate, Wayne Bennett.
No, we didn't play very well.
Where did it all fall down for you?
Oh, well, that defence, obviously.
How's Payne Haas, Mike?
No, he's dislocated his shoulder.
It's pretty brave of him to put it back in and try and keep going. You want to say that's pretty inspirational, I guess.
Yeah, well, he's a tough kid. He hasn't had 2 good weeks. Got a couple of injuries tonight. Alex Lynn's done his medial as well, so it's going to the season at the moment. Doing some good things. And then, having a game like this, which we shouldn't have had, and get a couple of injuries on top of that.
Is it only Alex and Payne?
That's enough for tonight.
Yeah.
So how many weeks is Alex looking at?
Oh, they're talking a grade 2, so it's probably a month or something.
What about your halves, Wayne? Do you want to see more control from them? How do you think they're going?
Yeah, well, as I said, when we defend like we did tonight, you've got to forget about the halves. We keep telling you that all the time. You know, those guys aren't going to be the difference when we're playing like we are tonight. We play the balls, rolling through our ruck.
Is it frustrating there's no progress there? Like you sort of treading water a bit?
We get some progress and then we go backwards. We regress, you know. We had a couple of good weeks and we had a good month, actually. I think we were pretty good in Newcastle. We had our moments against Melbourne, won 2 other games. 5th week, we're not consistent enough. We're lacking some experience there right now. Each week it multiplies and makes it. And each week these guys have got to get up. They're not used to being up every week. They don't understand that. They haven't played enough football to beat it down, you know, but that's... The reality is that's what we've got to do, and we can't use it as an excuse.
Do you know what your options are if you lose Alex and Payne?
Well, we've lost them, so I don't know what my options are right now. But they won't be playing this week.
That's Wayne Bennett and the press conference. A little bit hard to understand there, Wayne, but I did hear him say there, Gordon, I'll ask you, this is a Broncos legend. When asked about the 6 and 7, he said, well, you know, we're not going to get much out of them until we start playing better as a team.
Yeah, and I think... what Paul alluded to earlier was their forward pack. And there's only been 2 players, and I think it's Andrew Johns and Wally Lewis, that can play behind a forward pack that's getting beaten or dominated. And Brisbane, their forward pack, hasn't led the way. They haven't gone through the middle. They haven't beaten anybody up through the middle. But when they do, it gives Milford and those guys in the nick of rim at a time and space to play. When they're not doing it, obviously the defence is up on them and they're just not quick enough between the ears, you know, to set up the plays. And I think that's what Wayne, without bagging his players, he's just put a bit more focus on their forwards and without even naming those. But behind closed doors, Wayne will be telling his forwards, boys, you actually got to give these blokes a bit more time and space.
And he also doesn't want too much criticism on his halves. Like they've copped a bit. Like,
They've copped it all season.
Yeah, they have. It's been justified, but it also it gets to a point where from a coaching point of view, you don't want these guys getting up every day, looking at this, reading it, hearing about it, being told about it by their mates, asked about it, that sort of thing. So Wayne's just trying to alleviate some of the pressure there, but it's still a reality at the club.
And it's not the players' fault. Let me tell you, they are natural.
No, exactly.
They bought Milford,
they're playing their game.
And then he was a broken field. As soon as he got the ball around any traffic and it was a little break, he would bounce around a bit like a Tedesco style of play. Now Tedesco's gone to the Roosters, there's that much structure there. He is struggling to find it. Those players are the ones, a bit like the Tyrone Peachy. What's their best position? When they got the ball in their hands and they can run wherever they want and they don't have to get to a point on the field and do it, boys. And if they make a mistake, we're going to defend their mistake because they can do something that you can't do on a team. And I don't think that they're allowed to do that.
Boys, before we leave this Manly-Brisbane game, let me just get through a couple of these smaller things. Michael Carayannis reports in the Sunday telly today there's a handshake agreement in place to see Trent Hodkinson return to Manly. And that would be his third club this year in many ways. Newcastle, Sharks, back to Manly. Okay, do you see this as a good thing, Hoops?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it makes sense. He's not playing NRL at the moment for Cronulla. They're fortunate, Cronulla, in that they do have reasonable depth in terms of their halves. They've got Chad Townsend. They've got Matt Moylan. Shane Flanagan's son, Kyle, is a player that has big raps on him and is a young gun coming through. So I think, look, it makes sense for Trent to return to Manly, and they clearly need a six after Lachlan Croker's ACL injury.
And what about the talk, Paul and Gordy, about Marty Tapau being shopped around to other clubs? This is starting to gain a little bit of momentum. They're going to have to let a couple of players go.
Well, look, they're going to have to do something to organise their salary cap. And look, what people have got to understand with salary cap is when players are mentioned as being shopped around, it's generally a player at the club who's quite popular and well-performed. But and people say, why would you let go of him? Because you've got to get rid of a player that's got some interest.
Yeah.
That the club who'll take him is prepared to pick up a bit of the freight in his salary, which then eases your salary cap pressure. If you've got a player that you're not interested in, that the club's not interested in, and very little opposition teams are interested in, no one wants to pay for him. So you don't actually do it. What you're trying to achieve is find space in the cap, and you're not doing that. Marty Tapau's been mentioned around. Trent Barrett, and Hoops, you spoke to him this week.
Yeah, I've asked Baz about it a couple of times, and he says no. Marty's one of my best middle forwards. Absolutely. He's an international player. He was their best player against the Roosters last Sunday, and then he was superb again last night. Trent doesn't want to lose him, but the way I understand it, Paul, and I've spoken to a number of people in the game at NRL clubs who've been informed that Marty, at some point, could well become available. Mm. And it's because of their salary cap jam. It's because they've got these back-ended contracts. And Baz has been on the front foot. Trent Barrett has been on the front foot saying everything's okay. We've got the books in order. We're not going to lose any players. But I just get the feeling as though I think there's still a little bit more to play out with this story.
All right. Sunday Triple M NRL. It's all thanks to Ream Hot Water Heaters. We've got plenty to talk about and plenty of big guests coming up too. They don't get much bigger than Mal Meninga. He'll join us on this special Indigenous Round edition. So too the Pearl, Bucko, as you like to call him, Gordy.
Yep.
Steve Renoff will join us as well. But up next, another big game in that doubleheader yesterday. Storm getting home over the Titans. And some interesting things to come out of that game. More about Bryce Cartwright, more about injuries to the Gold Coast side, and another win for the Melbourne Storm. But we'll do that next as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M footy. Let's go! Across Australia.
Oh, yeah, round 10 of the NRL is Indigenous Round. We'll talk more about that in the course of the show. Gordy Tallis, Paul Kent, James Hooper, Anthony Maroon in the chair today. And, of course, if you can't listen, you may be going to a Mother's Day function today and you know you can't get to Triple M, maybe get the app on your phone is the way to do it. Get the Triple M app. Go to the website and download the Triple M NRL app, triplem.com.au, the old appy Coruscant, the old app, and you can listen to rugby league wherever you go. Doubleheader last night at Suncorp Stadium. I do love the doubleheaders. It brings out the crowd and a great atmosphere, a wonderful atmosphere. Melbourne taking the Titans on at Suncorp Stadium. It was a win for Melbourne, which sees the Titans slip back into second place on the ladder, which I say in all respect is probably where most people thought they would be.
Second last, I think.
What did I say? Second, did I, mate? I'm sorry about that. Second last on 6 points. Thank you very much to Hoops for the lovely way that you corrected me. I wouldn't have liked to have left that the other two to correct me on that.
We're still writing it down.
Thank you very much. Now, but boys, let's talk about that game.
I don't listen to you.
First of all, I want to start with the thing that everyone's talking about this morning. There's an incident in the game. Hoops, you were watching this. I know you all were, but you were especially fired up. There's an incident in the game where Bryce Cartwright has got to make a one-on-one tackle. I think it was Munster.
Cameron Munster, yeah.
And
Munster got the ball and powered through and was surging towards the try line. And look, I'm gonna ask Gordon. Gordon, we've all seen the replays. What did you make of the Bryce Cartwright non-tackle?
It's something that he would be horrified sitting in front of his teammates. I know that if I did that, if I had the video session,
yeah,
and you got to sit there and explain that to your teammates, and that's what I'd make him do, to let him know that everybody's accountable. And you know, my favourite players to play with was Shane Webke and Michael Devia, simply because on ability they should never have played first grade footy, I believe. But on their determination and how hard they worked at the gift that they were given to go on and not only play for the Broncos and Australia and New South Wales, it's just amazing. And in their effort, and they squeezed everything out of the orange. And I'm just frightened for someone like Cartwright that I watch him and I only dream to have his skill. Like his footwork, his offloading ability is unbelievable. A bit like Dave Taylor to a certain, and Dave Taylor never reached his potential.
That's the comparison that's now being made, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, Dave Taylor, to go work with Dave Taylor on a footy field, there's nothing that he could not do, which was, and I believe if Dave Taylor had a bit of Shane Webke in him, he would have been the greatest ever forward ever to run on the field. That's how good he was.
He was good.
And then you get someone like Cartwright that could have a career like his uncle or even better and go on and play in the highest honours and probably lead a club to grand finals, is his desire to want to play and put his body on the line. And that's where you get judged in our game, is how hard you want to put the body on the line with your teammates. We've all played with guys and they got better ability, but the bloke that puts his body on the line the most gets the most respect in his teammates, and I don't think he's got that at the moment.
Well, what's interesting about it, though, is last week Mick Ennis came out and said, to quote Mick, that Bryce was taking the piss. Mm. And it caused a bit of a stir, and finally Johnny Cartwright came out later in the week and told everyone to lay off him. He said, look, I know he's struggling a little bit, but let's just lay off and let him. And look, I didn't agree with everything Cartwright said. He said, you know, Mick, if Mick has a criticism of Bryce, he should call him and tell him rather than say it in his role as a commentator. Well, Mick's a commentator, and I don't think Garth Brennan would appreciate some bloke ringing up one of his players and telling him how he should be playing. So that's not Mick's job to do. His job is to get on and commentate and to call it as he sees it. He did it. Bryce Cartwright had every opportunity last night to prove Mick Ennis wrong, and he almost went out of his way to confirm it.
Yes,
to confirm that he was taking the piss. Because if you haven't seen the missed tackle, go to the Cameron Munster try on the website. It's on foxsports.com.au, where they discuss it. And he literally pulls his hands down, his arms down to his side, to allow Munster to go past. If this was horse racing, there would be a steward's inquiry over this.
Right. If it was the Melbourne Storm, right, if he was a Melbourne Storm player, there's no way he's playing NRL next week. I think if it was most other clubs, I don't think, after that, I don't think you could pick
him. Do yourself a favour, punch in Victor Radley's try-saving tackle. Yeah, a small guy on Dylan Walker last, mate, when he hits that hole, he's scoring for all money. Yep. And you got this little guy that put his body on a line. Yeah. Did you see the
commitment,
mate? We were sitting in a box.
That was a game-saving
Robinson
play.
Got up. He nearly smashed the glass, right, because of that effort.
Yep.
And he, like, banged the glass that hard. That's a coach. So he got excited, and you don't normally see coaches get that excited. And then they won 36-0.
The thing is, I think, boys, I think for someone who is just watches the game and has never been on the field,
they look at that and think,
at the Waterloo Waratahs. But you look at that and you just ask yourself the question, Hoops, why would an NRL player stop, put his hands by his side and let a player on the opposition team just saloon right through? Why?
I can't tell you, Anthony. I wish I had an answer for you. Bryce Cartwright is one of the most naturally gifted players I've seen come through in recent seasons. He was he was always a young gun. He was always marked for stardom. Now, he's had some injury issues. He's had some off-field issues as well. But last night, that particular tackle, he made a decision on the field that he didn't want to be part of the game.
I think part of his problem is he has been earmarked for stardom right from the beginning. So he's always received the expert coaching. He's always received the coach's focus. And I think throughout, because he's been so extremely talented, throughout his junior career, he made all the rep sides. He was always the guy identified. He had the burden of a famous...
Bryce Cartwright. He's had the family name to carry through.
But he more than showed the potential of that
surname.
But throughout that, somewhere along the line, he's missed out on some of the basic fundamentals in the game. And sometimes, like, you look at a bloke like Chris Hynington, who on Friday night goes out and plays for the Newcastle Knights in his 326th game, which makes him 10th all time, who was not born with a fingernail of talent the size of Cartwright, yet here he is going out on nothing but effort. His whole career has been about effort and just busting his gut. He's put out 326 games. He's the measure. Bryce Cartwright should look at him and take an example of what he's done with his career and how he's been able to make the most of it. Because Cartwright's got far more potential than Chris Hynington ever did, but he won't achieve anywhere near as much because the effort's not there.
Everything's become so easy for him that the coaches all along the way have let him get away with it, have let him get away because he's outscored him. He's set up all the tries. So the things that the team needed him to do were just swept under the carpet a little bit because of his ability. And we've all played with players like that, that the coaches let him get away with a little bit, but you can't do it in today's game.
The test of what you just said, Gordon, will come this week when Garth Brennan has to name his team and whether he names Cartwright in it, given there's every reason for the players who won't say it publicly.
No, they won't.
They won't talk about it. It won't be put out there this week, but they will certainly be thinking, I don't know if I want this bloke in my team. Yeah. When a bloke just hits a hole and the guy who's defending the hole leaves his arms by his side for him to run past.
I was lucky enough to play at Brisbane, and Alfie and Kevy and the senior players would have walked up and said, mate, what's going on with you? Why didn't you put your head in there? Get your head as close. Why?
Yeah.
And they would ask the question. So the Titans need, you know, a Ryan James, a Wallace, just to walk up to him, or even Ash Taylor, someone that wants to own the side and say, hey, mate, come on. That's not acceptable. We don't accept it. You shouldn't accept it.
Would you pick him?
Would you pick him next week?
Do you give him another chance?
If I was playing with him now.
He's not playing well.
I would train with him all week, and I'd give him one more shot to see whether he puts his body on the line, not his ability.
How would you handle a training week? Would you cuddle him, nurse him, or would you give him a kick in the backside?
I would go and ask, why do you want to play with me? Do you want to play in this team? Do you want to play with the guys around you? And if not, mate, stop taking it.
But he's got to tell you. You come to me and you say to me, do you want to play? I say, of course I do. Well, what's going wrong? I don't know.
Cool.
I just,
and then that's,
I'm going to give you all those answers.
Right. And then that's the first 5 minutes. And then we go out on Tuesday and we do the training. And then you watch his effort.
Yep.
And you watch whether he goes and he touches every line. And you watch if he digs in. And then when we're doing contact, you watch how hard he hits someone. And then ball work, whether he drops the ball or whether he's actions. Because you can see on effort and you see all that. Then you watch him again on Wednesday in the weight room. And you watch him again Thursday. So you babysit him and you follow him around. And you monitor him through the week. And then on Sunday or whenever they play, you watch to see what his first play is like. Jack Gibson, right? The great Jack Gibson.
Hmm.
And I asked him for advice. And you know what he said? Son, make your first play your best.
Yeah.
Because from then on, you're either in the game,
you
don't know what messaging, and then that's what I'd be saying, mate. Just get the ball.
What about this week of training? Would you walk up to a Ryan James or a Jared Wallace and say, listen, I want you blokes to give it to him a bit this week because I want to see how he responds to it?
Yeah, absolutely. And then that's what I was saying, like Alan Langer, like I remember him just pulling you up all the time. Don't worry about this. And then he'd name the player.
He'd do it through humour though, wouldn't he, Alfie?
Absolutely, but there's a bit of serious with everybody's joke. So all the time he'd say, geez, like, mate, we'd be at training and we got beaten up and we got beaten by Melbourne, so off we go and we're playing the Dogs and it'd be Dean Pay. He goes, oh, geez, I wouldn't mind playing behind that pack. And then all of a sudden you just saw the steam come out of Webby and Thorny's ears. And I'm like thinking, this little smart ass. But do you know what? Tuesday's...
Push her off buttons.
Yeah, mate, and then Webby's getting split and Thorny's getting split and we're ripping into each other and then just... Because we didn't want to let Elf down. You got to have players in your organisation, Paul, that you're guilty if you let them down. And they're your boss week in and week out. And then Alan Langer, and I remember so many times that we're under the pump and he'd get in at Mark and he'd make 2 or 3 or 4 tackles. He wouldn't say anything. He'd turn and just look at you. Hmm. And you'd be so embarrassed. But you're racing up to make the tackles, but he beat you there because of his desire and want. And then that's what the Titans – and then that's what all the sides that are struggling needed. Marty Tapel tried it last week for Manly. He was absolutely outstanding. But then everybody's got to go with you. So when you're putting in that effort – the blokes have got to respond and have that guilt deep down that they want to go with you.
Though, if we go back to what Mick Ennis said about Cartwright taking the piss, and then Paul just said...
The bubbler, we call it on the show.
Okay. And then we go back to what Paul just said. I think what we're all thinking is that Mick Ennis said Bryce Cartwright's taking the piss, and Bryce Cartwright goes out and does that, and it looks like, you think I was taking the piss before? Have a look at this. And if he is taking the piss, and I don't want to say that again, then surely that's a discipline thing.
Look, I think Garth Brennan's got a real issue. He has to sit down, and that effort is borderline sackable from the team.
Mm.
Not from the club, obviously, but from the team. That's almost go back and play for Tweed Heads this week and get yourself right back. Stand next to Kane LG and you guys can have a talk about whether you want to be NRL players or not. Because The one thing you should never question about a professional athlete is their effort. That comes with the job.
Yeah.
You can question talent. Not every bloke's talented. Everybody does the best with the talent they've got. Some go further than others.
But no one gets judged on their talent. They get judged on their effort. Most of the time, Paul.
Well, they get criticised on their effort. Yeah, that's right. You accept their talent. But but from a professional athlete, the effort is the one thing that should not ever be up for question from the fans. And if you're a Titans fan and you watched that game last night, you're entitled to sit there and say, hang on, cost me $25 here.
Yeah.
I work all week.
Absolutely.
I want to come along. I want to watch a game. I want to cheer for my team. I want to watch them go out and have a go. You've got one job, mate. That is to get right at 7:30 Saturday night.
And
for 80 minutes. That's your job. That's what you train the whole week towards.
And fans and players don't like losing. No one does. But they can accept a loss if you're out there having a dig.
Yes.
Mate, if your team goes out there.
Having a crack.
Mate, and they're having a crack and they get beaten and they go, geez, they played well today. Yep. Geez, we're unlucky. And then they start talking about the what ifs, not, mate, I'm embarrassed. These blokes didn't have a go. And that's, you know, and then every time we went away, and I keep on going back, like Alf would say, let's make the crowd leave early. Let's make the crowd leave early. Well, the Brisbane fans are leaving early when Brisbane are playing. So that's embarrassing. So all those things that just add up and they're, you know, your fans are your bloodline, really. They're the ones that you actually – so, mate, when you go and train all week, you go out there to play. They're the ones that can actually give you, like, a little bit more, and then they're the guys that you play for at the end of the day.
Is it worth something a little bit out of the box, Gordon, for Garth Brennan this week to actually get his side and to get him to go out and, you know, Bryce Cartwright to talk – just get him in contact with some fans or some members or someone like that and actually sit down and hear from people who he probably doesn't associate with that often how much it does mean to them. Because I know sometimes in the NRL you live inside that little cocoon of clubland and you don't actually – not unlike the old days where you were semi-professional so you had to go to work and you spoke to people who – some didn't even care about football. But you got all sorts of opinions from all walks of life, whereas now when you – I see players that they live in the cocoon of the club. They actually don't get out too often and talk to the people about footy who are just not NRL people.
Paul, and you've got to get your motivation from somewhere else, right? And whatever it is. And for me, I just wanted to make Mum and Dad proud. So when I took the field, I just wanted Mum, that when she went grocery shopping and people asked her, because Townsville was a small place and Dad's name was hot. And when Dad went, you know, finished work, knocked off and went to the pub to have a beer, they didn't ask him because my brother actually didn't quite make it. So he was the big name and went and signed. And I used to hear everybody asking Mum and Dad, oh, mate, how's Wally going? How's Wally going? And he didn't quite make it, right? So that embarrassed me that Mum and Dad had to talk and get asked every week. So I didn't want that. And then when I started playing and the Broncos, every Monday we'd go to a hospital or go and see a factory like Arnott's or whatever we would do. And I saw a little kid in hospital. His name was Todd Wallace. And his dad was driving a truck and it rolled over and he burnt. And his dad covered him and saved his life. So when I'm running out on a footy field and I was there thinking, oh, gee whiz, I'd love this or I'd love that. And then, like, all my goals were so important to myself. And then there's a little kid that wanted to blow out five candles. Mate, it just made me realise how lucky you are to do what you love doing and go out there every week and try to inspire these kids to do what they do. And then I think Bryce has just got to go find something deep within himself that what he wants. And if it's not rugby league, stop playing. Go back and play park footy with your mates and have a good time and have a life and get in the workforce and do that. But if you want to play in NRL or play anything at a top level, you've got to find the passion to want to do it. And at the moment, it's like that he doesn't have that fire in his belly where, you know, he's got the desire to bring, you know, just to be the best that Bryce Cartwright can be.
Yeah. And you can measure desire, can't you? And you can see it in
performance. You see it in their eyes.
Yeah.
Mate, you can see it in the player's eyes. And you can watch it in their efforts.
Boys, I need to take a break. We'll come back. It is round 10 of the NRL. It's Indigenous round. We want to talk about some of those great Indigenous players. We'll get to that. We've got more footy to talk about this massive game at 2 o'clock today. Rabbitohs and the Dragons. Well, boys, we'll talk about that. It's Mother's Day and Triple M rocks the footy.
Welcome back. Triple M rocks footy.
And welcome back to Sunday Triple M NRL. Right across the Triple M network, 2 o'clock, Rabbitohs Dragons. We'll get the score updates for you and we'll have that game at 4 o'clock today between the Sharks and the Raiders at GIO Stadium. In the meantime, you can get involved. It's not too late to join our Triple M footy tipping comp, sharing thousands with the Triple M footy tipping. Sign up right now when you get the Triple M NRL app at triplem.com.au. Gordy Tallis, Paul Kent, Hoops and Maroon. Just before we finish off on that Storm Titans game, I want to play you one little piece of audio.
And this is Cameron Smith talking about the leg pull and injury to Kevin Proctor. And then we'll move on to the next game. But have a listen to this, boys.
Well, just to sort of clarify that, I didn't pull his leg out. I didn't try to pull his leg out. You know, Kevy's a really good friend of mine. He's a really good friend of everyone at our club, and I played many games with him. So there's absolutely no chance I'd be going in there to try and injure the bloke. I'll be honest with you there. Whatever happens out of this game or that tackle, I've got absolutely no control over. So, all I can say is I'm not in there to try and hurt the bloke. I'll guarantee you that.
Just an unfortunate way
it
came around.
Oh yeah, I'm in there pretty early, and I thought I was in good position to get his leg up and get him down on the ground, but it didn't work that way. We had three in the tackle, and it ended up in that position. So, it's unfortunate. I spoke to Kevy after the game. And just to see how he's going, and I made sure I said, mate, I had no intention to hurt him at all, or for him to pick up an injury. And he said it was very grateful for me to come over to say, I didn't had no intention, and that's where it's at.
Okay, look, don't want to spend too much time on this. Anything in this, boys, that you want to talk about at all?
I don't think there's much in it. Look, I saw the tackle, and I think what Cameron was doing was what they often do in the game is when you get hold of a leg, you try to pull the leg out from so that they can't put weight to balance themselves. Where it got a little bit sticky, and this is the modern technique that where this problem can arise, is I think it was Curtis Scott on the other leg from memory, and he basically grabbed the leg. He had the other leg, so it sort of looked like he wishboned him a little bit. I don't think he intended to do that. I think he just was pulling the leg to try and get him off balance to get him to the ground. But because the other leg was being pulled the other way, it did have that effect of almost pulling him into the splits, so to speak. So there was a little bit of pain there. Certainly Proctor winced and gave a bit of a bark when it happened. But I don't think too much will come of it. The sad part is this is one of those new modern tackling techniques that we've brought into the game that can go very wrong, because we have seen in the past where players have had their legs wishbone like that and muscles have torn off the bone.
All right.
It looked awkward, Anthony. It looked awkward. It looked a little bit nasty. But I think we've got to be a little bit careful. People like to be a little bit tongue-in-cheek and say, oh, Cameron Smith's a koala bear. You know, he gets away with anything that he likes. Having watched that incident a number of times, he hasn't gone in there. There's no way. You've got to pay Cameron Smith the respect he deserves. He's the Australian captain. He's the Queensland captain. There's no way he ever runs out on the field to deliberately try and hurt somebody. And you can see that when he realises that it's going a little bit pear-shaped, he immediately withdraws and he drops his leg. So I think I don't think he'll have a case.
3 o'clock game yesterday on the Triple M Network, Warriors Roosters at Mount Smart Stadium. Now, the Roosters won this game 32-0. Now, this is, I don't want to poo-poo the Warriors. They have had a tremendously good year and they are right up near the top. All those things considered, in the last three games they've played, one team's put 50 on them and yesterday the Roosters put 32 on them. So, I mean, they are starting to...
Worrying signs is what you want to, what you're talking towards. Because it's one thing to get beaten. It's another thing to have scores put on you like that. 32-0 against a team that aren't travelling that flash themselves shows a real problem. And it's going to be very interesting to see how Steve Kearney handles this now from his coaching point of view, how he gets them back on track. We saw Ivan Cleary, who'd had a couple of uncharacteristic efforts from his Tigers, got them back on track and got it back the way they got there in the first place, which was through effort.
Hard work.
And that's the only way the Warriors can get back. Now, the question's now been put to them. We won't know the answer until they run out again. But as you pointed out, Maroon, they've had a couple of big scores put on them in recent weeks. They need to arrest that pretty quickly.
Well, they play Parramatta this coming week. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But and then, of course, the Roosters to go over there and put 32 points on the Warriors. I thought a couple of players that probably haven't been at their best this year, Waria Hargreaves, Napa.
Dylan Napa.
You know, they really stood up yesterday.
It's as though Kevy Walters had picked the phone up or something, or his coach Trent Robinson had challenged him because he was tremendous.
I got some audio there, I think, of Trent Robinson on Fox League in the press conference talking about Cordner and Napa yesterday. So here it is, Trent Robinson.
Bruce is a clip meant to get from your point of view after an up and down start to the year. It's only about this game. We played well this game.
How much do you think it's easy to get the group out there of some of the shots he's putting on tonight?
Yeah, massive. You know, they're really big momentum changes, some of them. And, like you said, just the energy it gives your team, it's, you know, it helps. And that's why we've got a guy like Dylan Epper in our team, and that's why he's a player that he is. I don't play against him week in, week out, but I'm sure he puts that fear in other teams. That they just, they'll probably look where he is in the defensive line, and it's good to have in our team.
I felt like the pack played like a Roosters pack today, and that was a performance that we wanted. You know, and that's that. I thought, there was individual bits there where guys came out and did that, but I thought they all stood tall together, all the forwards. And that's what you want in a team performance. You know, people like to isolate guys, and I think it's fair. But I also think that everyone played their role. That's what you want out of a team, and that's what coaches are working towards.
Oh, there's Trent Robinson. Good win yesterday for the Roosters too. 32 points to nil over the Roosters, over the Warriors. The Roosters, by the way, are now on 12 points in first, second, third, fourth, fifth position. So all things considered, they're going okay on the ladder. And the ladder, of course, presented by EWFW Consulting Engineers. They work for you. And just quickly, on the back of that, the Warriors have a couple of times this year been forced to play with Isaac Luke and Sean Johnson, but they really missed them yesterday, Gordy.
Yeah, they did. Obviously, you know, especially their forwards, they were a little bit predictable, where Isaac Luke has been in great form and he's kept the markers honest and engaged. So I don't think there was one Warriors forward that made over 100 metres, when in the last couple of weeks you got Ignatius passing those blokes, making, you know, nearly 200 metres. And it's obviously the respect that they had for Isaac and just his, you know, these skies of, you know, when to run, when to pass. And they've really struggled. And Sean Johnson, obviously Green has been really good, and, you know, there's been talk about Sean Johnson, but they missed a bit of his flair. And then, you know, not to have Isaac and Sean, and then you're just, you know, lining up on Green. I think the Roosters really defended them well.
Boys, that might just about do us there, because the important thing about round 10 is that it is Indigenous round. Just before I do that, a four-car crash eastbound on the M4. Four-car crash eastbound on the M4 under the Pitt Street Bridge. If you're in the city of Sydney, that will affect you if you're in the west coming into the city. Indigenous round, boys. I have seen some wonderful Indigenous players over my lifetime. Can I take you back to April 20, 1975? I was just about to turn 9. Redfern Oval, Souths versus the Balmain Tigers. The great Eric Sims kicks 9 from 9, Souths 39, Balmain 2. I said, what about this Eric Sims? What a tremendous player. But I'm sure, Hoops, we've all got an Indigenous player. There's been 1,000 great ones, not all played in the NRL, but everyone's got a favourite.
Look, there's so many, and it's genuinely hard to pick just one. You feel as though you're not doing, things justice. But I was asked earlier in the week on NRL 360 about who my favourite Indigenous player was, and I said Preston Campbell. And the reason that I said Preston was because he beat Andrew Johns for the Dally M medal in 2001. He won a premiership in 2003, and the bloke was 5'6" and 73 kilos. You talked about getting as much as you possibly can out of the orange. Preston got everything, every little last milliliter of juice. Just,
if it wasn't his debut, it was very close to it. I think he made it for the Gold Coast Chargers on the wing and marked Wendell Saylor.
Yeah.
And fair dinkum. No, mate, he did. And I thought, this little kid, it looked like that he just rode at,
I think Wendell's
at the Gold Coast.
Way more than Preston.
Oh, I would have loved to seen heard what Wendell said.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you imagine Wendell in full Wendell flight mode, when Wendell runs out and he looks opposite him, and you got Preston Campbell at 5'6", 70 kilos, marking him?
Yeah. Oh, mate. Wendell would
have been beside himself. He would have been saying, get me the ball.
Boys, what we'll do, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll have a bit of a special on Indigenous round. And what about rugby league royalty for guests? Mal Meninga, Steve Renoff, they're all coming up as Triple M Rocks the Footy.